From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
Welcome to the program. With summer in full swing, it's time for us to take a look at some of the great things happening in school districts across the state. We're going to chat with Dr. Deanne Kelleher, the Director of Health and Nutrition Services for the Michigan Department of Education. And from Monroe Schools, we'll be joined by Superintendent Andrew Shaw and Director of Business and Finance Cassie Shook. From Van Dyke Public Schools, Superintendent Piper Bogner. And from Dearborn Schools, Maysam Ali Bazzi, who will share with us a really exciting discovery camp happening this summer. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Dr. Deanne Kelleher, the Director of Nutrition Services for the Michigan Department of Education, and in that role, she is also the State Child Nutrition Director. Welcome to the program, Dr. Kelleher.
Thank you. I'm so delighted to be here.
I appreciate your time today. So as we are in the middle of summer, many people may not have an understanding of how school districts have the opportunity to provide nutrition service support to students through a statewide effort that I believe is sort of anchored by the federal government. And I was hoping you could share with our listeners what sort of the primary mission of what we all know Meet Up and Eat Up summer food program is and how you think it helps address childhood hunger in Michigan.
Definitely. That primary mission of Meet Up and Eat Up, the summer food service program, is to provide meals for children up to the age of 18 that are living in low-income areas where half or more of the students would qualify for free or reduced-price meals. This helps provide access to our meals during summertime when school is out, right? So helping out address childhood hunger in Michigan. Last year, we served over 7 million meals in the state of Michigan, and there we have nearly 1,400 locations statewide that are at schools or community centers, local parks, and even to-go areas in rural areas.
And, you know, speaking of rural areas, in my time as superintendent, when this first began, I remember there was a rule or a policy that children had to stay on site and eat the food at the school or wherever the site was. And can you share how the program has evolved in recent years, especially with your point about the access in rural communities? And I believe it's called the Sun Meals to Go option. Tell us a bit about how that operates.
Sure. There's those differences. We've got the Meet Up and Eat Up sites where they eat meals on site, and there's activities and all kinds of different things going on. But in the recent years, they were able to see that we did have a greater need in communities, especially rural communities, where it was really difficult to get into the sites for breakfast and lunch, driving long distances, things like that. And with the pandemic, in ways in which schools were able to meet those needs, we were able to see that that would be something that could happen. So they expanded the summer meals programs by having this Sun Meals to Go. Sometimes you'll hear there's another word in Michigan. Sometimes they'll call it rural non-congregate, but we like that Sun Meals to Go name. But what happens by expanding that program, it meets the needs of those children in those harder to reach rural areas. And so how that works is, we got rid of transportation being a barrier. So there's once a week, sometimes some sites may have twice a week in areas that are considered rural by our United States Department of Agriculture. There can be a meal distribution where they come and pick up 5 to 7 meals of breakfasts and lunch, or they might have lunch and a snack or something like that at a time.
And In my conversations with superintendents when I was still in the business, many districts partner with different churches and maybe YMCAs, different places to help distribute food, especially depending on the size of the district. And away from that partnership model, does the Department of Education and through your role, do you have any specific partnerships that you're working with independent of what schools are doing?
Sure, we do have a lot of partners. We appreciate schools and all that schools can offer, such a trusted and local source. Though we do have, again, like you were saying, a lot of community action agencies, or there may be food banks, tribal organizations, YMCAs, and other local nonprofit sponsors who really know their community really, really well. And they can also be a sponsor and being having meals at those sites, either our meetup and eat up meals, or they may be one of our meals to go sites too.
We're currently with Dr. Deanne Kelleher from the Michigan Department of Education talking about summer nutrition for students. Dr. Kelleher, let me ask, how does your background as a registered dietitian and an educator influence your approach to administering what I think is one of the most important programs for children?
I would agree with you, too. It is one of the most important programs for children. It's so nice to have that nutrition safety net, that not only do we have meal programs within the school year, but we have these summer programs. My over 30-year career as a pediatric registered dietitian, I've been dedicating my role to help serve families, improve access to food, which we know in turn impacts health for kids. Children that are fed and ready to learn are the ones that are going to lead our future. We want everyone, including our children, we know they all deserve the right to be able to acquire food in culturally acceptable ways. And this focus has really driven our office through our shared mission of championing student success by ensuring access to nutritious meals. We support local agriculture and enhance household food security through our innovative collaborative efforts, because we're always prioritizing the well-being of our Michiganders.
You know, an indirect, indirect outcome of this program is the fact that by putting nutritious food in front of children, you're actually educating them at the same time you're feeding them. And I would imagine many of them aren't connecting that at that moment when they're grabbing an apple instead of a candy bar. But over time, as they participate year to year, it is a really unique way to teach them about nutrition education in a very indirect way. And following that line of thought, how do you ensure as a director that the meals that go out and are provided to students and children meet the nutritional standards, I believe, according to federal law?
Sure, we do. We follow all the federal guidelines for the nutrition of our meals. And in Michigan, we have a program that helps connect local agriculture, and our summer programs can be part of that. It's called 10 cents a meal, but our summer programs can also be including our local agriculture. We have such innovative and fun ways that a lot of our partners are doing that. But when it comes to that nutrition education, again, so important, but with these healthy, nutritious, local foods that are being offered, kids eat it, they love it. But there's also these meetup and eat up programs. There are promoting participation and doing some education type of activities at some of the sites. We have sponsors that will partner with local agencies that actually do true nutrition education lessons or games with kids, depending on the appropriateness of their ages at our meetup and eat up sites. So again, not only are you getting the modeling of the good nutrition from the foods they're getting, but they are having some extension activities of learning about nutrition.
Looking ahead, given the current, what I would call, instability around the Department of Education at the federal level and its effect on local states, do you have a thought as to how the Department of Education will move forward on this, whether or not schools are fully funded to feed children? And let me say that another way. For years, it was based on whether a student met a particular free or reduced lunch threshold based on income. And in recent years, it became accessible for all students. And have you thought about how you would deal with that if it changed what is being supplied from the federal level in terms of free food for children?
programs are funded through the United States Department of Agriculture. So we are separate from the Department of Education. So when we look at funding, so when you're talking about some of the changes at the federal level, we still are providing meals. You did bring up that, yes, we do have Michigan School Meals. We just completed year two of Michigan School Meals, and it is in the Senate's budget and our governor's budget to continue again, which means that there are free meal to public school students, a free breakfast and a free lunch every day. And so, again, our funding and the programs that we run are funded through the United States Department of Agriculture, so they are separate.
Dr. Deanne Kelleher from the Michigan Department of Education, I sincerely appreciate your time today on the program and the great work you're doing to help children get nutrition over the summer when schools are closed. As always, I appreciate your time and keep up the good work.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Coming up after the break, we'll chat with Monroe Schools. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from Monroe Schools, Superintendent Andrew Shaw and Executive Director of Business and Finance, Cassie Shook. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So in our continued discussion on the program today, we're focusing in on nutrition opportunities for students over the summer months. As most people know, students go home sometime in June, typically don't come back until late August or September. And given the importance of nutrition during the school year, there's a concerted effort to provide that during the summer months as well. And I'd like to start with Mr. Shaw, can you describe the scope of Monroe School's summer nutrition program, and how many students do you expect to serve total?
So our scope of the summer program is really a carryover of our school meals during the whole school year, and so our kids are will go out to different schools and locations, and so we'll serve about 17,000 meals this summer.
Wow.
So we have 4,500 students that are in our school system, you know, if you think from, and then you think about our parochials and others, so it's actually quite a bit more kids that are eligible.
And, you know, we've learned throughout this program that nutrition availability is for all students, regardless of where they go to school.
That's exactly it. And so we encourage any student to take part. And our food service director and company we use serve phenomenal meals, and so we want them come and take part in this.
Yeah, so a question for you, Cassie. What would you consider, given your role in business and finance, what are some of the main challenges that families in the district face regarding food insecurity during the summer months, and how do you think this program addresses that?
We have quite a few families that rely on the meals that we provide to their children during the school year. And then during the summer, those meals aren't readily available like they are during the school year. So for us, it's important to have multiple options, whether it be at our summer school programs or some sites that we have in the community, to have children have access to healthy and nutritious meals during the summer period. And we also partner with other agencies in the area to make sure that there's coverage throughout the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy for folks to get their kids meals. And as Mr. Shaw said already, they don't have to fill out any forms. There's nothing. They don't have to be our student. Any child 18 years older that shows up to one of our sites can get a breakfast and a lunch.
So just to drill down on that, your district is working with entities that aren't necessarily your own schools.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those other organizations or agencies that are helping host a site and feed children?
Sure. We partner in the summer months with the Monroe County Community College and offer meals to their students enrolled in their summer camp programs. We also partner with Monroe County Opportunity Program, or MCOP, and the City of Monroe to provide meals at their tot lot locations that are in various parks throughout the city. And then this year, we're also partnering with Gabby's Ladder that offers a grief camp to provide their meals. And then we have a year-round program with one of the Monroe County Library System locations for their enrichment programs there.
Mm-hmm. So question for you, Mr. Shaw. What kind of steps does the district take to advertise this for students? I presume as the school year ends, you want to make sure they're aware of it and all the places they can get food. Yep. How do you go about that?
Oh, yeah. So every weekend we have what's called the weekend review goes out. And so we communicate and through that mechanism, which our parents are, goes to every student, every parent, and then community members that are part of it. So they can always see what's happening in Monroe Public Schools. But along really understanding this. And then it's just continual messaging from our buildings. And so flyers have gone home. And a lot of it comes down to, though, we've been doing this for a few years. This isn't year number one that we've been doing this. So there is that expectation. And that's when, you know, you ask Cassie the question around how we get kids involved, and the why is, like, our kids and families are already used to what we do during the school year and that carryover. And, you know, we have parents that are working and they put in a lot of hours. And so for us to be able to step in and offer this opportunity is especially important.
We're currently chatting with Andrew Shaw, superintendent, and Cassie Shook, executive director of business and finance from Monroe Schools. Let me follow up on a point you made. How do you ensure that the meals provided meet what I assume are some pretty strict federal nutrition guidelines, and especially promoting healthy eating habits for students? How do you go about that?
So we rely on our Sodexo food service staff. They are absolutely well-versed in the requirements of USDA for the different programs that we offer. And they try to make sure that the items are not necessarily repetitive, but they like to have some fun things in there that they know not only are healthy and nutritious, but the kids will want to eat them as well. So they try really hard to have some nice inviting meals for the students to eat.
You know, when I first began as superintendent, my children were very young, and they went to the schools where I was superintendent, and I had a direct pipeline to what kids actually thought about the food we were serving. It was right at the time when they really started to drill down on healthy eating habits and that. And my one daughter came home one day and said, "Dad, the whole wheat pizza crust, it's got to go." And I would pay forward to our nutrition staff the direct feedback that kids otherwise don't have the opportunity to give to someone. So you mentioned you've been at this several years. Andrew, have you seen an increase in participation over the years?
Oh, every year there's an increase. And it's back to that awareness and understanding. And if we look at right now, when you go to the grocery store and the cost for food, there's no reason for our families to not take part in our programs. There's multiple locations and opportunities. And so we just invite them to be a part of that. So, you know, you're asking the question about how they understand where it's at. It's Facebook. I mean, that's been one of our primary modes of keeping that out there for families. But no, it's it grows every year.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, and you know, every year that kids come into the district and they stay, you get a sort of a captive clientele of people who know, you know, if I come into Monroe Schools in second grade, I might not be aware of it, but after a few years, I'm going to be aware of it and take advantage of it.
Oh, very much. And you think about, too, the different foods. I know that when I was staying in the lunchroom for an elementary, and when our kids can go through the line and they have the choice, do I want a salad, do I want an orange, do I want an apple, you know, and they can literally put that on their tray with their main course. And so where it used to be everything was served to you and here's your amount that you got, now, you know, there's a lot of flexibility, especially in the fresh fruits and vegetables areas. And so it's really changing the landscape of what, when we were in school, and what it looked like, because it's not that today.
And we just had at one of our elementary school, they opened a time capsule from 20 years ago. And in there was a breakfast menu, and it was really interesting to see, like, it was a clear pattern. Like, 1 week it would be, and it was one entree and milk or juice the whole week, and it would alternate things, and then in 2 weeks it would be the same rotation. And it was just really interesting to see the change from having just a single selection to now there's different things that they can pick and choose, and more offerings of things.
Some great work here in Monroe Schools. Cassie Shook and Andrew Shaw, thank you so much for joining us on School Talks and giving us a glimpse at the great work you're doing now down there providing nutrition support for students. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
After the break, we'll continue our nutrition service conversation with Piper Bogner from Van Dyke Public Schools. This is 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Piper Bogner, the superintendent for Van Dyke Public Schools in Macomb County. Welcome to the program, Piper.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's great to be here today.
I appreciate it. So over the summer, as many of you know, there are lots of things going on in school districts. And one of the most important things that happens is the opportunity for children to continue to get nutrition service provided to them in any number of ways. And as you all know well, there are other things going on, from athletic and fine art camps to all kinds of things. But drilling down in this particular program, I wanted to talk a little bit about how Van Dyke approaches the summer months, especially the nutrition service side. So could you describe for us, what are some of the main goals for Van Dyke, and how do they influence your approach to summertime?
Yeah, great question. So my personal brand as an educator is opportunity regardless. I think every student should have the same rich opportunities regardless of food available at home in the summer, regardless of where they live, and regardless of many other outside factors. Our district mission statement is every student, every day, no matter what. And this summer opportunity really goes hand in hand with that. Because if we have students who are around in the summer, even if someone, this is a common misconception that you have to be a Van Dyke student to come to our meetup and eat up meals, and you don't have to be. You just have to be 18 or under, and if you're staying with a cousin who lives in Van Dyke or something like that, you can come and get a breakfast or a lunch for free. So it's a great opportunity for anybody who's in the area.
And earlier on the program, we had Deanne Kelleher, the Director of Nutrition Services for MDE, which is sort of the anchor for meetup and eat up. And with regard to Van Dyke schools, how many schools participate and how does it operate in the district?
Our whole community is able to participate. However, we have two sites and we make sure, because we're a smaller district as far as square mileage, but we make sure that there are schools at both ends of our district who are physically participating.
And I think an important point of clarification is the children in your district, they do not necessarily have to attend Van Dyke schools in order to go to a meetup and eat up site. Is that correct?
That is correct. So anybody 18 and under who happens to be in our area during our breakfast times and lunch times may come on in and get a meal.
And you know offhand how many students and families typically participate in the summer?
The numbers vary. I think it's a higher number during our summer school program because I think people, even if they didn't see our other marketing efforts, they will see children at the school. Ages preschool up through 12th grade, so they'll come in. But there are people the rest of the summer who come in too. You know, I've seen some families that come consistently every day and some that may drop in once a week.
And in this process, what would you consider are some of the biggest challenges you face in either the operation of the program or, as you pointed out, the advertisement of it?
I think we've tried to get more creative with the advertising, the marketing, because not everybody checks the website all the time. Not everyone, especially with older students, we find not everybody checks the backpacks when they come home if we put a flyer in a backpack. If I had a 10th grader, I'd probably be less likely to say, hey, give me everything out of your backpack than with a kindergartner. We try to be really creative. Sometimes we'll add it to one of the robocalls that we do home. If we're telling everyone to have a nice summer or reminding them of a half day, hey, don't forget, we've got meetup and eat up going on in two of our buildings this year. It happens to be our middle school and Carlson Elementary. So we try to add these reminders in every medium that we have, just so that families know. And we've got large signs on our buildings reminding people that we've got the program going on.
In my time as superintendent, we would try to have meetup and eat up sites at the same locations where summer programs were. So a student coming out of band camp or science camp could grab a lunch before they went home, which made that just a natural connection to getting them the nutrition they certainly need. So from a community perspective, how does Van Dyke collaborate with community partners or local organizations, if at all, with Meetup and Eatup? Do you have any of those kind of connections?
We have some. Mostly we would collaborate with local churches who are doing some food banks or food distribution, and we may not use a school right near those churches because they're kind of fulfilling the same need. We also collaborate with Gleaners, and they do monthly food banks that will pass out several items to families that would keep them. They also give recipes with with the food. So those would keep them pretty flush with food for at least a couple weeks. And those are fantastic. So we do work with some organizations in that respect. And we have also chosen the sites where we are holding summer school.
So we're currently with Piper Bogner, the superintendent of Van Dyke Schools in Macomb County, talking about the support the district provides to students through the statewide effort Meet Up and Eat Up program, where students can come up to schools during the summer and get a nutritious breakfast or lunch. So, Piper, let me ask, given the diversity in the district, are there any challenges or specific needs you need to pay attention to in terms of dietary restrictions or language barriers?
Absolutely. And we do that throughout the year, too. So we know that many of our students do have food allergies and do have restrictions, whether those are religious, cultural, et cetera. And our food service preparers and companies are ready to provide food that goes along with all of those restrictions or allergies. And that flows through the summer as well. So that's something that we're really cognizant of and happy to work with families to provide.
Given your longstanding participation in this, can you point to a particular success story or positive impact that you've actually seen as a result of this summer opportunity?
Yes, I could probably point to several, but what I love seeing is the students who, you know, their parents say they absolutely insist that we come here every day, and they love saying, ooh, I eat this in school. And then it's a way to stay connected with their friends in the summer. It can also increase participation in some of our summer courses for students who really need that kind of lift in the summer that may not otherwise come to courses.
From time to time here on School Talks, we've talked about the concept of the summer slide.
Yes.
Where some students leave in June and they do absolutely nothing academic until they come back in the fall. And this type of activity connected to band camp or any type of academic or intellectual processes really helps reduce that slide, not to mention getting them good nutrition. So as a measure, what do you look for to determine whether the summer program is successful or not? I guess a better way to frame that is, are there any particular metrics that you're using to determine the success of the program?
Yes, so we have several within the district, and that's a great way to look at it. One thing that we do is we look at our NWEA scores, and that's something that most of us do statewide. One thing, when you talked about the summer slide, it's shown that most parents are working right now. We're not able to stay home and read books with our students and practice math, and, you know, kind of those old days are really gone. And a student can slide up to a year's worth of achievement and learning in the summer if they are home just playing video games or kind of doing nothing. So we don't want that to happen, of course. So we are inviting them in for courses, for food, for whatever it may be. And some of the younger ones, we're even inviting in for things like playing games with each other and learning how to be cooperative and social. So all of those things contribute to not experiencing a summer slide. So all of those things can be assessed through our NWEA scores at the end of the year and then at the beginning of the next year. We also have local assessments that we'll use that are more related to maybe social skills and just our local math and our reading scores.
And for our School Talks listeners, NWEA is the Northwest Evaluation Association, which is a fancy term for the tests that we give students annually to determine their academic growth in reading and math.
Yes, and we do that kindergarten all the way up through 10th grade, and that's something that we use as a benchmark at the beginning of the year to see how our students are doing, if any of them might need some additional intervention, and then at the end of the year, we look at where their growth is, and our students also track their own growth.
Got a great thing going in Van Dyke Schools. Piper Bogner, Superintendent, I want to thank you so much for joining us on School Talks, and keep up the good work this summer on behalf of all the children. Thanks.
Thank you so much, School of Choice is open.
Stay right there, because after the break, we're going to Space Camp by way of Dearborn Schools.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program from Dearborn Schools is Maysam Ali Bazzi. Welcome to the program, Maysam.
Hello, how are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm good. In your role as Executive Director of Staff and Student Services, I have learned that you have a really unique summer discovery program. And if I understand it correctly, it's supported by the Ballmer Foundation. And I was hoping you could shed some light on that for our listeners and the importance it is for your students.
So we have Summer Discovery. This is our second year. We applied for the grant last summer, and we were approved. And then this is our second year, thankfully, that we also were approved. The funding is based on student enrollment. And this year, I can tell you proudly and with much excitement that we have just about 4,000 students enrolled, which is about $8 million in grant funding provided by the Ballmer Group and United Way. The program is free at no cost to all of our children ages K through 8. So it's those students that just finished kindergarten this June. Those are our rising first graders, and it goes all the way up to our rising ninth graders, which includes the eighth graders that just finished in June.
So the curriculum in this program, is it different, or does it somehow extend what the students learn during the regular school year?
Well, the grant makes that optional, which route you'd like to take. So last year, we used our own curriculum, and it was an extension of the school improvement plans that were implemented during the 23-24 school year. For this year, we opted to go with the Lavinia curriculum, which is provided via United Way and the Ballmer Group. That's the company that provides the curriculum. I can tell you preliminarily, because our program starts on Monday, I can tell you that Lavinia is going to be extremely well-received and positive for the academic gains that the kids are going to be exposed to, because the curriculum, we have professional development. It encompasses everything you'd need for a summer curriculum. It allows a teacher to jump in, get a couple days of professional development, and it provides the lessons and the pacing that's required for a 24-day program. So it maximizes what you can achieve and what you can have the students achieve within 24 days. So I'm excited to see the outcomes at the end of this summer, since we decided to use the Lavinia curriculum.
So within the Lavinia curriculum, are there both what we would consider academic lessons as well as enrichment activities? And if so, is there a balance between them, and how do they function in the program?
So the Lavinia curriculum provides the academic lessons. The enrichment is not embedded in the Lavinia curriculum. Although it is a highly engaging curriculum, the enrichment component is a whole nother piece of what makes Summer Discovery such a fabulous opportunity for our families. I also want to note that for kindergarten through second grade, we're using the Wayne County Consortium curriculum. It's called Literature Lab.
Mm-hmm.
And while in the past we've used Lit Lab, we've just had it in very small pockets, because that is what the funding from the Lit Lab grant allowed. And so now, with this additional funding from the Ballmer Group and United Way, we're actually able to extend the Lit Lab curriculum K through second grade, and then the Lavinia curriculum, second grade math, all the way through eighth grade. So a combination of the two.
We're currently with Maysam Alibazi from Dearborn Schools, talking about the Summer Discovery program there. Maysam, is there a particular process for how students are selected or enrolled in the program?
So the school, in order to be eligible, a school has to be considered economically disadvantaged, which would be 50% or a minimum of 50% of students are eligible for the free and reduced lunch program. That includes just about all of our buildings, except for maybe one building wouldn't be eligible in Dearborn Schools. And so that would be the first basis, is the building as a whole eligible. And then after that, we target and encourage our most needy students that are at most at-risk students. And being at-risk could be academically at risk, that they're struggling academically, but then also there's some social emotional factors or things at home that make them at risk, fall under the at-risk umbrella. So we target those students. We highly encourage them. We make contact to their parents to get them enrolled. However, we really promote the program and the opportunity for all students. because it's such an engaging summer opportunity, and we really want to maximize the number of students that are participating. And so we don't want it to be like, hey, this program is just for our struggling students, because it's truly not. It's truly not. It's for all of our students. And so that's how we target the at-risk students, but we encourage all, we promote all, and we make sure that it's engaging enough to make kids want to come.
So what is the daily schedule for students participating? When they walk in the door, what does a typical day look like for them?
So the grant requires an eight-hour window that the school must be accessible and available to students and families. And so we do 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And so 8 to 8:30 is optional, whether or not the kids come at that time. That's up to their parents. We have some extended enrichment activities happening at that time. 8:30 to 9 is breakfast. And then 9 to 3:30 is 90 minutes of language arts literacy, 90 minutes of math. And then the rest of it can be a variety of enrichment activities. So the rest of the day is going to be music, art, STEAM activities. Z the Cook is going to be with our middle schoolers doing culinary experiences and learning using math in the kitchen. And then other companies that will be with us as well, our partnerships, I should say, would include like Hype Athletics, and they'll be doing team sports throughout the day. We have the Nutty Scientist. The Nutty Scientist curriculum is a ton of resources that provides highly interactive and engaging lessons for our students. It was a huge hit last summer, the Nutty Scientist. And then we have like Sheer Genius. Sheer Genius is an assembly. There's an assortment of assemblies you can choose from. I believe we're going for the character building assembly and then also the comedy assembly, a combination of the two. And so what might happen in one day, no, out of the 24 days, no day is going to look exactly the same except for the fact that there's going to be 90 minutes of literacy and 90 minutes of math.
And how long does the program last during the summer? How many weeks?
It's 5 weeks, 5 days a week, so except for 4th of July. We're closed on 4th of July. Last year we spread it over more weeks with less days per week. With this year's calendar, it just worked out better. So it's total of 24 days and five weeks, 5 days a week, except for 4th of July.
Seems like a perfect amount of time to interrupt a child's summer, as you know well. And we talk about this on School Talks quite often. That is the summer slide that happens for many students who go away from school for sometimes 11, 12 weeks. To have a program like this in the middle to keep them engaged, I think, creates a much softer landing come school in the fall. So, Maysam Ali Bezzi from Dearborn Schools, I want to thank you so much for joining us on School Talks and sharing with us this great summer discovery program for your students. And as always, keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Many thanks to our guests today, Dr. Deanne Kelleher, Andrew Shaw and Cassie Shook, Piper Bogner, and Maysam Ali Bezzi. That's all the time we have for today. But remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.